You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This feature is brought to you by the Standard Bank Group.
The B20 gathering concluded today at the Sandton Convention Centre, and we have been reflecting on some of the discussions that have taken place there. We're going to be reflecting on some of the recommendations that have been put forward as well. I'm joined on the line by the Finance and Infrastructure Task Force Chair, who you may also know as the Group Chief Executive Officer at Standard Bank, Sim Shabalala, to take a look at this and see what we make of it. Malume, lovely as always to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time. Let's start with your reflections over the last 2 days, and indeed over the year. It's been quite an eventful year, I can imagine, not just for you and the Standard Bank business, but indeed as part of the Finance and Infrastructure Task Force.
Hard work and interaction between, in our task force, 169 people, as well as the 8 co-chairs of the task force that were partnering me as we worked through the data and the policy recommendations, which are culminated in 3 broad suggestions, which I think we'll discuss a little bit later.
I want to get your thoughts around what this means, Malume Sim, for South Africa, for the world. We've come through quite an eventful year. It's been up and down with all of the conversations that have been happening, but I want to reflect specifically on the relationships and the relations between local businesses and international businesses now that we've concluded the G20 summit, or the B20 rather, leading up to the G20. From a business perspective, has this strengthened the relationships that South Africa and indeed the African continent have with the world?
Oh, absolutely, Jimmy. Close to half of the people that were present were from outside South Africa. So you had more than 2,000 business people converging on the convention center, and close to half of them were international. These were people that were here to talk Turkey, to have deep conversations with their counterparts around, you know, opportunities, around driving policy and building bonds and building relationships. There were many breakfasts where people were having discussions. I attended a breakfast, in fact, I'm happy to tell you, by DP World, where there was a deep conversation around infrastructure, ports, the shipping industry, logistics, all things that are central to not only the South African economy, but the African economy. And so, in a sentence, you know, the convention center was something of a bazaar where South African corporates were selling their wares, and having deep conversations with their global counterparts.
Malume Sim, let's get into some of those recommendations. You highlighted that from a task force perspective, there were 3 main ones that were put forward. I want to get your thoughts around why those specific recommendations, even before getting into what they are and their relevance in today's world.
So, Jimmy, you will recall that our task force is one of 8 task forces. So there's employment and education, there's energy mix and just transition, there's integrity and compliance, there's digital transformation, there's trade and investment, the sustainable food systems and agriculture, and there's industrial transformation and innovation. And the one you and I are talking about, mine, was finance and infrastructure. That's in the context of direction given by the secretariat and the leadership of the B20 to say we're trying to achieve 4 big things as South Africa, as summarized in the communique that was handed over to the Americans this afternoon. And that would be trying to unlock inclusive growth. So everything we're trying to do is about unlocking inclusive growth. Secondly, it's about human beings, you know, investing in human capital. Thirdly, it's about driving industry reforms, you know, to build resiliency into the global and regional supply chains. And then lastly, to strengthen the role and involvement of women and SMEs in value chains. That resulted in our case in the 3 recommendations that I'm referring to. And they're broadly the following. Firstly, build infrastructure, you say, effectively, roads, ports, bridges, dams, and remove the barriers to that. One of the main ones being, of course, that most projects fail before they get to financial close for a variety of reasons, either because they're not properly prepared, there's not enough data, or there aren't decent regulations in place. So deal with that. Secondly, get out of the way. Get rid of all the impediments that make it hard for investors to invest in projects. And put in place mechanisms that improve public, private, and philanthropic partnerships as they invest in these projects. And then thirdly, get rid of the impediments that block money moving from investors into projects, into the economy, and into SMEs. One example of that is put in place structures that allow SMEs to get paid quickly by invoice discounting, for example. And so those are the three big recommendations, and they will make a big difference in closing the gap, the infrastructure gap on the continent.
Well, Emerson, before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the African continent, particularly in the context of the developments that we've been seeing out of Washington and the United States. You touched on a handover. We know that that is part of the G20 journey. There has to be a presidential handover to the next presidency that will then take this forward into the new year. Let's look at continental positioning. What does Africa then look like in the global sphere now that we've successfully hosted this? And I imagine I don't see why we would not successfully host the G20 over the weekend. So we can assume relatively that this has been a successful tenure for us and for our presidency. How does that put us, or where does that put us rather, continentally speaking, in the global scheme of things?
Jimmy, this was as much an African B20 as it was a South African one. And by way of example, of my eight co-chairs, two were African. Samala Zabaru, the chief executive of the Africa Finance Corporation, and Strive Masiwa, the great entrepreneur from Zimbabwe and the United Kingdom. And all our recommendations are about unlocking that funding necessary for the infrastructure on the continent. We need that infrastructure to get people to have access to more electricity. There are 600 million people that don't have access to the grid. We want people to have access to roads, ports, bridges, so that we can mine our goods, beneficiate them, manufacture on the continent, and sell our goods to the rest of the world. And you therefore need these roads, bridges, and ports. What that means for Africa, simply, Jimmy, Africa is going to be the fastest growing region in the world after 2030. Our populations are getting more digitally connected, younger, healthier, greater disposable income. And at the same time, you've got this infrastructure build out. As a consequence, we will be the fastest growing continent in the world. And the world knows that. The world is very attracted to the opportunities on the continent. And it's therefore up to us as Africans to negotiate the best bargains for ourselves, which is what we've been doing through the B20.
The position of Africa and the voice of Africa have now become even more undeniable, and that is a message from the largest bank on the African continent by assets in the form of the Standard Bank Group. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Thank you so much, as always, to Mlumisim Shabalala, Group Chief Executive Officer at the Standard Bank Group, also Chair of the Finance and Infrastructure Task Force within the G20, for joining us to reflect on some B20 outcomes, G20 outcomes, and where we go to from here. This feature was brought to you by the Standard Bank Group.
When you're growing your money, you need to make the right choices. That's why at Standard Bank Private, we offer the best of everything. Our offshore investments are award-winning. We'll give you the best forex rates around. As SA's biggest home loan provider, we offer unmatched expertise, and you'll have access to the best financial planners and bankers. So why not visit standardbank.co.za to join Africa's best private bank today? Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.